Hello, everyone. I'm Kennedy.
And I'm Vasilis.
We run Changemaker Z, a student-run initiative that aims to empower, educate, and connect Gen Zers interested in entrepreneurship.
We interview teenagers with impactful projects and create resources to help you change the world. If they can do it, so can you.
On this podcast, we discuss the logistics of creating different types of projects with Gen Zers who have already done it. We will leave our social media and website information in the description.
Welcome to today's episode. On this podcast, we have featured YouTubers, influencers, photographers, videographers, public speakers, activists, and musicians. And it's time to talk with, yes, you guessed it right, with a painter. With me in the studio is Marina Tiara. She had one of her exhibitions here in Grenoble, France, and this is how I met her. In today's episode, we will talk about the journey of a painter, the difficulties of being in the art industry, and in addition to that, Marina will share with us some insights about her latest exhibition, the preparation behind it, the process of being in a gallery collaboration, and so on. Marina, welcome to the show, so nice to meet you.
Hello, nice to meet you, Vasilis. Thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure to have you on the show. So, let's begin.
Yeah.
What was your motivation that led you to become a painter?
Well, my motivation, I guess I always knew I wanted to become a painter, I wanted to become an artist. Since I remember myself, I just wanted to be a painter, and there was not a moment when I said I want to become something else, you know. I have kind of this like stupid memory when I was a child. I remember I was with my mom and my grandmother at my grandmother's house, and let you do my own
play,
things,
yeah,
with my sister. And I was always like painting on reading. That was one of my two favorite.
Like all the times, I mean.
Yeah, painting on reading. So I come back with. I remember I was very, very young, like five, I don't know. So I come back with a sketch of a bird that I've made. And my mom was like, she was trying to tease me, you know.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, come on, why would you stop just, you know, painting and, you know, do something else? You know, you're all the time with your markers and stuff. So I got so offended, you know. I told her, well, you know, if I hadn't been painting all the time, I wouldn't have been able to make such an amazing design.
Yeah.
And I remember I was impressed by my own, by my own design.
This became your motivation, I think.
I guess, yeah. And also, like, my mom helped me as well. You know, they took me to art classes and stuff. And to be honest, they were always very, very supportive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like in my family, we have another artist as well, another painter, and you know, it kind of runs. I don't know if it runs in the family, but you know, it's not a conventional family where everybody is like a lawyer or a doctor, you know. So it was not weird to have somebody who wants to become an artist,
who wants to get into the arts in general.
Yeah.
I see. So what comes to mind when we talk about studies in art, and what really is?
So, I mean, people come from different backgrounds, I guess. I took the more traditional one. Although I started studying something else in Greece. I was studying civil engineering, but I was hating.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. And then while I was in this, in this school, I tried to get into the School of Fine Arts in Athens twice, and I got rejected. But I wanted, I really wanted to study art. It was like, and I went to leave Greece, of course, because I went to leave Greece, I want to travel. And so I did an Erasmus at the Canary Islands,
mm-hmm,
with my civil engineering university, which I'm embarrassed, but I know nothing about civil engineering, but all right. And then I won a scholarship.
Yeah.
So I won a scholarship, I won a competition of UNED, is La Universidad de Distancia in Spain.
In Spain.
I had already like learned Spanish, and I went to Spain to study fine arts.
So you were well prepared, I guess.
I was well prepared about the studying part and about, you know, moving abroad. And I just studied fine arts in Seville. And years later, I did my master's in education, in Montessori education. but years later, because I was already, I had been involved into teaching, and I was interested in those like alternative methods
and activities.
Teaching, yeah, mm-hmm. And years later, I did my master's, but my studies about with art was fine arts, you know, University of Seville, and of course, you know, some things I learned as well by like doing my. You know, my internship, I was like kind of a slave, an older painter, and I learned all the hacks, you know.
Yeah, this is what an internship is. You get experience from that.
Yeah, but there are things that you don't learn at school.
And, of course, it's just third, I don't know, it's just theory at school.
Yeah, it depends on the school as well, but Seville is quite classic, mm-hmm. you know. And which is
France cool. as well.
Yeah.
I'm in engineering.
Yeah.
Everything is theory.
Yeah.
But they require you to do, you know, some type of internships during your uni years. Mm-hmm. Because, like, they do understand that things that you learn at school, it's not at all what you're asked to do in real life.
Mm. I, of course. But for me, mine was not obligatory.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of.
But it was what you wanted to do.
Yeah, yeah. And I have the teacher who knew this guy, this old artist, and can recommend me, and I learned how to actually make my canvases. I was making them for him, you know.
Yeah.
So, but it's useful knowledge.
It, of course, for a painter, of course.
Yeah.
I always was curious, how do you manage to book collaborations with art galleries?
This is a very nice question. I love it. Because
maybe the most difficult one.
It's the most difficult one, and it's what everybody wants to know. Apart, there's also another question that everybody wants to know: how do you make money? It's like the first question. Like,
well, it's the next one.
The next one. Well, with galleries, not only. Actually, it really depends on many factors. You know, mm-hmm. in like in Spain, it was a bit easier for me. A bit easier because since I studied there, I had. Like, first of all, my first exhibitions were not in galleries, you know?
Yeah.
Because me, I went with all of my ego of a 20-year-old. I went with my ego and my shitty portfolio to some galleries in Spain. And I was like, hi, I just want to have an exhibition. And everybody was like looking at me like if I was like an alien or something. Of course, nobody wanted me to exhibit there because I had no portfolio, of course. And so I started exhibiting in my first exhibition was in a bar and in Spain, in Seville. And actually, I made a big collaboration there. I have a painting that is in the European Union because I met a guy who asked me to paint something for him, and he works in the committee of the region, you know.
Okay.
But the thing is, like, then, you know, you start doing exhibitions, and my first gallery, a professor of mine recommended me to the gallerist, and I had an exhibition there. And I mean, there are different ways because sometimes you just, you know, you win competitions, open calls, which to be honest has never happened to me. I've never won anything, like an open call or something apart from this.
Maybe it's because there are similar competitions to any category, but all these competitions have some application fees.
Yes, some are for free, but there are some.
I think the ones which are for free, it's totally difficult to win them.
Mm.
And the ones that they are paid, the more you paid, it's more possible that you get the award.
Yeah, but also, like, you know, it's like there's a lot of competition. You know, we are many artists that, you know, we want to
in every aspect,
you know. So, and I don't know, sometimes it's luck. So maybe what I was doing when I was applying, it was not contemporary enough. I don't know, but I never won a competition. I just won the residence in Spain.
Yeah.
But to be honest, then I had, you know, I was meeting people and I had one in one gallery and then I had a friend who knew. Actually, I have a friend who her godfather is, he's the ex-husband of Donna Summer.
Okay.
So in Germany, so he's a painter. So I had an exhibition in the gallery there, you know, in Munich. And then this is how it started. But to be honest, I've been exhibited in many places, in galleries, but also in other places, like cooperatives, restaurants, like private shows, at the municipality. So it's not only the gallery, but the gallery gives you prestige. It can guarantee some sales, of course, but also if you shouldn't be, as an artist, in my opinion, you shouldn't be limited to just exhibit in galleries, because you would never exhibit, you know.
Yeah.
You should just exhibit whatever and try to, you know, make the world see your art. Mm-hmm. This is what I think. But it's difficult without the gallery to...
It's difficult without the gallery, but it's not possible to promote yourself nowadays.
It's difficult if you don't have sales skills, I guess, you know. And also if you don't know many people and if you are an introvert, you know. Mm. It's not my case. I'm not an introvert. But
I can confirm that.
But, yeah.
Mm. I see.
Yeah.
Hopefully it wasn't an obstacle for you, the fact that... Okay, you didn't have a portfolio, but then you met the right people at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
they helped you to, to follow your dream.
I mean,
more easily than others.
Yeah, but also, you know, I just, you know, I did a shitload of work.
You know? Of course, you did the art part, but not, you know, the sales and all the connections part.
Yeah. You know, there's no, unfortunately, there's no recipe, you know. Some people just exhibit in bars and stuff, and one day they have a good gallery. Some people never exhibit in galleries and keep on living and keep on selling. And, you know, some people win an award and then they, boom, they just exhibit in museums. And some people exhibit in museums and they won an award. It's crazy. There's no recipe, you know. And this is like so stressful when you're young and... But if you
and not
think about,
as mature.
Yeah. I mean, even now it's stressful, you know. Sometimes I wake up and I'm like, what am I going to do with my life, you know?
Oh my gosh. You burn out, literally. Okay, so let's go to the cliche question. Can a painter maintain himself or herself, you know, only from these art activities?
I mean...
Maybe this is only a stereotype, you know. I don't know why this stereotype exists, but I think that this is the same for all the arts.
Yeah.
Maybe for a dancer, maybe for a videographer, but nowadays this has changed due to the YouTube era. But I think that this stereotype exists, that a painter cannot maintain himself.
Yeah.
So what you can say about that?
It's like, first of all, it's people, I mean... Let's say in Spain, I was never asked this question, how do you make money? Because when you're surrounded by artists, any kind of artists, like I was surrounded by dancers, I have very good friends who are flamenco dancers, musicians, you know, like performers or even visual artists like me, they never ask you how do you make money, you know. I was kind of in a bubble, and I started being asked this question here in Grenoble. Because, you know, all of my acquaintances are engineers, you know?
Yeah.
And people who are not in this sector, in the art sector. So the first thing that I ask is like, is this your real job? How do you make money? And in the beginning I was offended. I was like, of course it's my real job, you know? But the thing is like, first of all, we need to, in my opinion, we need to separate. We need to non-monetize art, you know. We need to separate making money, that is this your real job. And I always say, let's take a person, child, who is like an apple baby, you know. He comes from a big family, you know.
Okay.
It's not my case. Me, I take all the boxes, like, you know, middle class family, alcoholic father, you know. I take all the sad boxes, but,
okay.
But it's not my case. But a person who has a lot of money and he just decides, or she, to become an artist, you know. So he just started exhibiting and making like exhibitions or performances and stuff, and of course the money that he makes is not enough for him to live from it. But everybody assumes, oh, you know Pierre, you know, he's an artist, and nobody asks him how do you make money, because he keeps on making art, but you know he doesn't have to think about, you know, his income.
Yeah.
But everybody assumes he's an artist because, you know, he's an artist, he makes art. And then let's take Maria, that Maria comes from a middle-class family and she has to work as a waitress when she makes her art and to compensate.
Mm-hmm.
And so suddenly everybody asks her, what's your job? It's like, I'm an artist. Oh, okay, but it's not your main occupation. You're also a waitress, you know?
Yeah.
Or you're also a teacher, or you're also... Because she has to support her art with this, you know? So, yes, it's our main job. Yes, it's the only, because we can't do anything else. It's not something that we choose. If you want to become if you're an artist, you're an artist. You have to make art.
You live for that.
Yeah, exactly. But money, if I make money, yes, no.
It depends.
Me, it have been years in Spain that I was just living by my art, which means I was just selling, or from my art, sorry. I was just selling paintings. And I also had, I was doing some merchandising with my art, right? And I was doing some like punctual workshops, and there have been years that I was like, teaching as well, like part-time.
Okay.
And I kept on going with my art thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I was always an artist. It's like the same, like you make paintings, you make a painting in 2011, I made a painting in 2012, and I sold it last year. Was I an artist then or now? It's when the money comes that you're an artist, you know? So this is a very big question, but yes, my principal activity is the art activity, of course, but when I arrived in France, and I was not speaking the language, in confinement, we had a big problem. Artists, you know, we couldn't exhibit, we didn't have a gallery, you know?
Yeah.
It took 2 years to find a new gallery because of all this. Of course, I went back to teaching, but I kept painting, I kept creating, you know, and now, it's great, but it's never, unless you have a shitload of money, unless you have financial backup, you never know, you know?
If you have one, that's good for you. If not, you have to work hard, and every start is a tough one, I think. It's the same thing when you start a company, you have to invest money on this.
Exactly.
You have to invest time on this. I don't know if this will work out in the end, but if it works out, that's great, that's perfect. If it's not, either you find a solution, you're trying to, you know, to live from what you want, from any, you know, scenario. And I think that what you're explaining to us right now, it's not only the case for painters, but it's also like for, you know, the latest musicians, or singers. There are many people with many talents, but since there are so many talents, they cannot, you know, just sign from the whole mass of people, and so they start making content online. But even this is not enough at all, so like they need to work as, you know, as a waitress, as you said, or whatever.
But also the only difference with like visual artists, like painters or sculptors, is that like if you're a musician, you can make you can perform in different places, and you can just, let's say, make some money to get through the day. I'm not saying that this is what you want, you know, but at least it's something more tangible, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a nice concert, everybody pays 10 euros and stuff, 10 euros, and that's it, you know.
Yeah.
With us, it's like not everybody can pay 3,000 euros for a painting, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes you need a lot of money investment, you know, like to just paint a painting, you know?
Of course.
If the painting is big, you start with like 300 euros, just the canvas, just the color. So this money, if you don't have them, what are you gonna do? So then you will have to like start painting things more commercial thing just to sell, which is not my cup of tea, let's say. And then you're frustrated. And then you're frustrated, and then you have anxiety, and then you are like all the tormented artist.
And maybe disappointed for no reason.
Exactly. So sometimes you just need some money to invest. And if this money doesn't come from your family, you just have to do something else. Maybe teach art, you know, many artists do that. Maybe me in Greece, I was working a little bit at the theater as well, as a stage designer, you know, or even in Spain, I did some collaborations like that. So, that's why I started teaching also, and then I got involved.
You get involved with that.
Education, you know, but, you know, but I think people should not get discouraged, but it's very easy to get discouraged, you know, especially we work a lot at home, alone, in the studio, so it's not like you're sharing a lot with many other artists. It's not like you go to a jam session or something. We just work alone. And sometimes it's, you know, it's frustrating and sad if things don't progress, you know?
Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
Let's move on to some of your most recent exhibitions here at Grenoble. Which was the subject and inspiration behind it?
Mm-hmm. So the one that you visited, my exhibition, is called Madonnas. And actually the inspiration are women that I've met like during my whole life, but also the past 2 years,
okay.
You know, after COVID and so on. And It was the idea of like representing the mother with a child, and also having a look at motherhood from a different perspective.
Hmm.
And I think it was something that I had it inside. I'm not a mother, and I don't want to become one.
Okay.
By choice.
Of course.
Motherhood is.
Everyone's free to decide what you want to do. It's right.
But I really wanted to explore this idea and connect it with femininity and with feminism, of course, and with sisterhood. And I got really, really, and I'm getting really inspired by different women. And I know it sounds like a cliche sometimes.
It's not cliche. I think that's the best moment to present things like that with the world. And but yeah, if it's, you know, as a person, I don't like when, you know, we are surrounded only from this idea, because at the same time, maybe another someone would say, okay, what about, why you think that, okay, maybe we will pass to exactly the other limit of life that, you know, women are considered best from the men. So we need to be balanced.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we are balanced in this period of time.
Are we?
For me, we are. From what I'm seeing on the internet and what we're producing here at the podcast, I think that there is this equality for, you know, which is, you know, there isn't the best gender.
Okay.
But I don't know for, I don't know, for possibilities or, you know, for, I don't know.
I think we don't even, I mean, we need 300 years of distance to even have equity, women and men. So I don't even want to talk about equality. But at least I think nowadays more opinions and voices can be heard. And
that's the idea.
Yeah.
What we're doing here right now.
Yeah, exactly. But also we are going very backwards in different in other different sectors, like what happened now at the States about abortion and all those things.
Yeah.
You know that no rights are granted about women, and I think, I mean, I was always very vocal about it, about.
But now there are actions.
Yeah, and I mean, I think everybody should do whatever she can, but especially like. After what happened to me like 3 years ago, that I suffered an aggression and I almost died. And
sorry for that.
It's okay. I mean, and it was it was an aggression from my ex-partner, and things really changed for me. You know, I was always very vocal about manifesting and supporting women's rights, and you know, but especially when you survive something like that, you're like, you know, no shits are taken anymore. So, yeah, so that's why I chose to do this exhibition, you know, because I wanted something to, you know, it was kind of a statement, you know.
It's a statement, and it's a strong, you know, subject, and everyone, you know, I think that everyone would appreciate. To read an article for feminism, for sisterhood, or even to see visual art like the one that you created. And I think that this is the most important thing. You have traveled a lot. You studied in Spain, you come from Greece, you love to visit Brussels, I think. So why you have chosen Grenoble to build your life?
I know. I'm gonna tell this. I'm gonna tell you why I chose Grenoble. I chose Grenoble because of a man, and this is how my feminist myth is going to get blown up. No, why I chose Grenoble? Okay, so I wanted to move out of Spain because I felt that my circle has closed there, and professionally and personally, of course. Professionally, because I was living in the south in Seville, and I was kind of tired of, you know, although I was exhibiting, you know, abroad
all the time,
and I traveled for my art, but I wanted to leave the south of Spain, and I was also I was getting a divorce because I was married to you know, to this guy, and so everything happened. Just I wanted to go to Brussels actually because my. You know, I have friends there, and my best friend lives there, and I wouldn't have to learn French.
And they speak great English there.
They speak great English, so I wouldn't have to learn another language. But, you know, like, I made my plans, but it was not what happened. Because when I was getting my divorce, I suffered this aggression from my ex-partner. So my life was at risk. And I met Aurelian, which is my partner now in life. So it was the confinement and it was everything crazy. And, I couldn't be alone and I didn't want to stay in Spain. And,
you need people to support you. And
Exactly. So I just, you know, we just drove pure confinement from after we were confined together. Then 4 months, we have been in one date and then we got confined together.
Okay.
Yeah. So then we drove 5 months.
This sounds like a movie, but it's great. It's great to see example in real life, I think.
It's like my whole life, it's like a movie. Not always a good one, you know.
Now it's a good one, I think.
Now it's a good one, yeah. So I just came here just to try, you know.
And you stay.
And I stayed after I moved my whole studio and stuff during the second confinement and then during the third confinement I moved my studio here and stuff. So I stayed. So, and now I learn French, so it's good.
Is it easy to integrate to the French culture and lifestyle?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's not a problem. I think...
You have already stayed abroad, so you already know.
Yeah, and also, like, you know, French people, I don't know. I find many... I mean, of course, we are different in many ways, but also I find many similarities, you know. The food is good as well, you know.
Of course.
The wine, you know. You know, but it is a fact we were discussing before that Grenoble is nice, but for my taste is lacking some underground contemporary art scene.
Yes, because Grenoble it's a city that's literally based on sciences.
Yeah.
It was the first city in France that started computer science program, and I think that arts are missing from that city.
Mm-hmm. You know, like there's a lot of because I have a friend who's a violinist, so there's a lot going on about classical music here as well. But contemporary painting, not that much. But you know, I mean, you can just have a base and travel around, so it doesn't mean that you can stay here forever.
Yeah.
But that's why I ended up here, you know. Since you asked.
That's great. How do you self-promote your work and exhibitions?
I mean, you know, during COVID, there was a lot of fuzz and a lot of... people put a lot of weight on social media.
Yeah.
On online shops and stuff. And to be honest, I fell into the trap as well, you know, because they have nothing else to do, you know. It's like you just get bombarded by, you need to have, oh my God, you need. And I have before, but all of a sudden it became like insane, you know. So that was very stressful. And, but before that, you know, it's just like the traditional way. You just send emails, you just make flyers, you just invite people that know somebody
and you know,
you know, and then you just, you know, you just, you can promote yourself without social media. Nowadays, it's very difficult, but I realize that we shouldn't put our entire, like, efforts on social media because it doesn't work. You know,
and yeah, your work, it's like it's physical work,
yeah,
it exists, so exactly. Someone you know but, has to be more personal connection with you
and
the art,
exactly. Yeah, and you know, like also, I know it sounds a bit how can I say that? I sound like
a daydreamer
or something, but it's you know, we should have faith and trust on people, you know, and you ask, you know, a friend brings a friend, and then. You know, you just, we should continue having human connections, you know. Having said that, if you check my Instagram, I make 5 stories per day, you know. But it's, you know.
But this is the goal.
Yeah.
To have real human connections and interactions.
Yeah.
Would you consider, like, you said before that you did some workshops and, you know, you tried to merchandise and commercialize a little bit your art. But would you consider yourself to become an entrepreneur and part of your art, part of your painters, to create, you know, a collection of hoodies or stuff like that? and sell them online?
I've done it in the past.
Okay.
And I had a company. It was called Gatakia. It's a Greek word for kittens. Not very commercial. And we were doing badges and magnets, and we were also doing fine art prints and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we had an online shop and blah, 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 on Etsy and stuff. And then we had we had some selling points in Spain.
Yeah.
And it went well. It needs a lot of management. And somehow what happened to me is you get a bit lost. Because it's merchandising, so you need to sell a lot, you know, to make money out of this. And you need to, at the end, you need to have somebody who knows how to make it works. Yeah, and if now that I can choose, I'd rather put my effort to finding somebody who can promote like my paintings or, you know, my workshops than just the merchandising, you know?
Yeah.
And for me, I mean, I think I could have, you know, kept going, but for me, it was not that thrilling. I tried, I did it, and it was all right, you know. I mean, you should try things, but, and it was very time consuming, you know. So,
I see. Mm. Are there any upcoming events?
Yes.
Let's listen
hopefully
to
hopefully I can say yes, which you have asked me last year. I was on my bathroom floor crying in a fetal position and say, what am I gonna do with my life? No shows booked. Because this is the life of an artist, or you have no shows booked,
or
you have
bunch of shows.
Three shows in one year. You're like, you know?
Yeah.
But and I think that it's very common, you know?
Yeah.
So yes, I have actually, I have my exhibition now in Grenoble. It's at the end of March, and I started collaborating with a very nice gallery in Cyprus. It's called Psifida, and there is a collective show in March with six of my paintings. Mm. And it's in Paphos, in the center of Cyprus. And then in September, I have a solo show in this gallery.
Oh,
and it's gonna be the Madonna series. I'm gonna close this series in this gallery, and then in November I have another show in. I just booked another collaboration with another gallery. That it's actually a project. These collectionists, they have been collecting paintings of old expressionists, unknown, you know, and they want to exhibit them and create a dialogue with a contemporary artist. And so this is going to be with me. So it's going to be
so interesting.
Yeah, based on that. And actually, he sold me some paintings at the gallery now that I went to Belgium. And we booked the date for the 3rd of November for the opening. But it's going to be completely different because it's going to be like what happened now in Pompidou with Mitchell and Monet. It's a dialogue between me that I'm a contemporary artist and, you know, the old expressionists, you know. So I'm very excited. These are for those two shows.
Your dreams come true.
Yeah, I mean,
every single day, every single year.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when I was a child or a teenager, I was always dreaming of becoming an artist and having an exhibition in Paris. And I had very good exhibitions and very good galleries and very good places.
But not at Paris, at least for now.
I had like all those years in very big, nice places, you know, that the shows were amazing and stuff. And last year, I had an exhibition in Paris.
Oh my gosh.
And it was, the place was a very small, dark place, like cooperative / bar. It was nothing, you know, fancy or, you know, my paintings, you could see them, but it was nothing like a big gallery and stuff.
Yeah.
So I just, during the opening, for me, I got so emotional because it was my childhood dream, you know, to have an exhibition in Paris. And no matter what other exhibitions I've done before, like in big galleries, me being there with a glass, you know, of champagne or wine and seeing my paintings in Paris, it was like, this was my dream come true, you know? Because when I went to Spain to become an artist, I was like, yeah, I'm doing it.
This is my goal.
Yeah,
this is what I want to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was kind of, you know, it was very important because I was faithful to myself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, but the exhibition in Paris, even though it was one of the smallest that I had, you know,
it was the most important for you.
It was very important for me because it was like this little girl of, you know, 14 years old
She finally saw her, you know, I'm having an exhibition in Paris. I'm an artist. Here's the Eiffel Tower. Cheers to that.
That's the proof. Period.
Yeah.
So last question.
Yeah.
If you could live anywhere in the world and not Grenoble, where would it be and why?
Mm. Okay. I'm going to fall into the trap telling you a place that I've been and I love it. But I've never actually have lived there. So I think I would choose Budapest.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been there twice and I stayed like almost a month both times. And I had this massive vibe from this city, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe I was too young. Maybe I was, it was just the moment. I don't know. But I had this, you know, this, I have this thought that I want to go back and live there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be Budapest, but and it's crazy because when I moved to Seville, I had dreamt of Seville in my dreams, but without never actually, you know,
visualize
there,
yourself.
Yeah. And it was like I want to go to Seville, and I just moved to Seville. And at the end, I was planning on staying 2 years, and I stayed for nine. You know, so sometimes you should listen to your gut. You know, so maybe I should just, you know, move to Budapest for a short period of time, maybe just to experience, especially since. In our work, we can, you know, have a studio and work from wherever we want.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm telling you Budapest. Also Berlin, but I've never been. So I think I've kind of idealized Berlin in my head, you know, because it's a contemporary city, you know.
It is.
Yeah, but I've never been. So.
Many things happen to Berlin, actually. I don't know, but if you have seen a Netflix short movie, it's called The $1 billion Code.
I've never watched it.
And actually, the idea is that the Google Earth or the Google Maps that we're using today, you paint it out and you see, you know, the stars and the globe. And the idea is that you can travel the whole world through the maps and the satellite images. It was started as a art contemporary project with a visual artist and a programmer. And they were from Berlin. They really had a company winning, they won hundreds of awards for art and for telecommunications. The $1 billion Code. And then they found out that Google took the code, or at least they copied the idea of it, and they commercialized it. So they were in court in 2018. This happened, this started in 1985. It's approximately 30 years ago. It's a lot. And they lost the court. But I think that people learned that exists something similar to what we know today, Google Earth. That period of time was called TerraVision. TerraVision in English, TerraVision in German. But I think that this is a real example of contemporary art in Berlin. You're welcome. So I think that we have reached the end of this episode. We had such a great conversation with Marina about another aspect of art, which is painting. I would like to thank Marina for being with me here today. It was so inspiring to talk to you today. Guys, don't forget to check out the Changemaker Z app, available on the App Store and Play Store. With the latest version of the app, you can explore the latest articles from thread.com, inspiring quotes, similar podcasts and content, and of course the latest episodes from our podcast. Don't miss it. Until next time, do not forget to change the world. Bye!
Thank you guys for listening. We hope you enjoyed our conversation. We had such a great time. Make sure to leave us a review. If you want more Changemakers content, you can follow us on Instagram at Gen Zers to Rise and on Facebook at Changemaker Z.